Amen. James chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. This is James chapter 3. For in many things, in the King James, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue a little member and boasteth great things, or is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So that means your tongue has an important part to play in not only just what you say, but you're going to have to live with the consequences of what you say. And this is exactly what some of the other translations say. It sets the whole course of your life. So it talks about the tongue being set on fire of hell. Well, if hell can inspire my tongue, so can heaven. Heaven can inspire my tongue. And I choose. And so you cannot bless and expect a curse. But you also can't curse and say junk and stuff and expect blessing. It doesn't work that way. Because it just said blessing and cursing ought not to come out of the same mouth. Can an olive tree, what does it say? Can a fig tree bear olive berries? No. So you can't bless and expect a curse in your life. Now, I'm going to qualify that. You know, we live in this earth realm. Stuff comes. But I have authority and dominion to speak to it. But I didn't create it. I didn't cause it to come. And it's got to go. Amen. Let's go on over to Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. We're talking about death and life and the tongue. But today, I want to look at something. I've called this message voice activated. Because faith, if it's not spoken, is not activated. Faith, your confession is your faith speaking. Your words is your faith speaking. You know, if you listen to someone talk long enough, they're going to talk what's in their heart. That's their faith speaking. Proverbs 18. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Say increase.
Increase,
increase of your what?
Lips.
It didn't say the increase of your thinking. It said the increase of your lips, you will be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So increase starts in your mouth. If you want an increase in your bank account, you've got to first start increasing in your mouth. You've got to say with my mouth. what the Word of God says. You've got to decree some things. So faith begins to speak before it looks and feels like it. In other words, you've got to speak increase before you see it. Amen. Amen. Let me read this in the New International Version. In verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Good News Translation. Verse 20 and 21, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. What you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. A person, this is a complete Jewish Bible, verse 20 and 21, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth, with what his lips produce, he will be filled. The tongue has the power over life and death. Those that indulge it must eat its fruit. So we can see that the words that we speak will have an impact, good or bad, blessing or cursing, increase or decrease, sickness or healing. It's going to change. You know, the symptoms don't determine the outcome. Your words do, and God's word in your mouth changes circumstances. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how bad it looks. You know, I shared some personal things this past Wednesday, and I can remember a few of them that if it was not for God giving me specific things to say, then it would have been, as they say, curtains. Because there was no way to change this circumstances, these few that I had faced in the natural. And it was without his direction. Because in one situation, there was no way I could have confronted it or changed it. And the Holy Ghost said to me, sitting there pondering this situation, he said, if you'll bring your tithe into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, he said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And that revelation exploded in me such that I got up and jumped and shouted and carried on for a few minutes because I was a tither. All right. And when he said that, I said, that's it. The devil is rebuked from this situation. You cannot touch me. You cannot touch my things. God rebukes you. It didn't change. It took 6-8 months, I had to walk through a process. And my mind would try to say, you're not going to make it. It's going to be better. You're going down. And your mind is telling you, it's curtains. But every time those thoughts would come, every time, sometimes multiple times a day, I would stop and I'd say, thank you, Lord. You spoke to me. I didn't know what to do. And you told me. And because I'm a tither, you've rebuked this. And I kept saying it, and kept saying it, and kept saying it. That's no different than if you receive. See, I received that word. I received the word of God. I received it, but then I had to say something to activate his power to work in that situation. It would have done no good for me to get happy and shout. I received it, but if I didn't say it, I wouldn't have activated his power. I wouldn't have activated it. I got happy. I shouted. And sometimes that's where we stop. That's where we stop. We got happy, and then the circumstances flood your mind, flood your front door, flood the mail, flood your phone, and it's nonstop. You've got to take what you received. I received the word. I received that money. I got it. I took it into my heart. It was revelation. I saw it. I got it. And when the circumstance came, I said, no. No. God revealed to me, I will rebuke him because you did something. You're a tither. When you know you have something, you will do something. Something just come up in my heart. I was writing this down before I came up. Turn over to Acts chapter 3. You know the story. Peter and John at the gate, beautiful. You know this story. But what did Peter say? What did he say? See? Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, this is the man that was lame, he said with John, said, look on us. Acts 3. What did he say? And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have. Well, if you don't know you have something, how are you going to give it? He knew he had something. He had the revelation. He received the name of Jesus. He received that he had authority to use the name. He had it. I have it. But it would have done him no good if he hadn't acted upon it, because the power of God would have not worked. And the man who saw him had to receive it. Same with you. Do you know you have the name of Jesus? See, some of us get happy. Woo! Hallelujah! But do you know you have the name? Do you know you have healing? Do you know you have prosperity? But that's not enough. You can have it and not act on it. And you shut off the power of God. You shut it off. It will not work. Just knowing you have it is not enough. It's not enough. Just knowing I've got a couple hundred dollars in my pocket is not enough. It does not benefit me if I don't know it and spend it. You've got to know. When you know that you've been called, when you know that you have the name of Jesus, we'll do something. We'll do something. We won't be waiting, because I know I have something to impart. I have something to give. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we went through some things the other day about speaking. And I'm not going to go back through some of these lessons, but what you decree, what you say will be so. And of course, we've gone back through this, that you are made in the image and likeness of God. God is a spirit. That makes you a spirit. God spoke things into existence. Everything that's been made and we see is upheld by the word of his power. that makes us a spirit. God is a spirit, that makes me a spirit. And the words that I speak, what did Jesus say? The words that I speak are spirit and life. That means when you speak, you create things. Now, there is no death in God, but until we get our minds renewed, death words can come out of our mouth. That's the difference. That's why God wants us to get our minds renewed to the Word of God, transformed, so that we can prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Amen. So I want us to look at another scripture, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of what? Of your confession. Or it says profession. I like the Good News translation. It says, my Christian friends who have also been called by God, think of Jesus, whom God sent to be the high priest of the faith we profess. So he is the apostle and high priest of the faith that we, what, profess. Faith must be professed. And I like the, again, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So we got to hold tightly, unswervingly, it says in the New International Version. So we have to hold tightly. Now, turn over, if you would, to Luke 18. Just going to look at a few examples here in the scriptures. We shared one of the man with the palsy let down through the roof, but the blind man near Jericho, this is Luke 18:35. It says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him be brought to him, or brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive thy sight, or my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, what thy faith hath saved thee. Or you could say his faith, he was healed by his own faith, by his own words. You know the story? Let's look at Mark 5. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5. It's the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. Some things haven't changed, have they? She spent all her money, still no better. It says actually she got worse. But thank God. Verse 27, it says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, I'm reading from the King James, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And then, of course, you can look down in the verse 34, And it said, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I like more the modern translations, the Amplified. It says, for she kept saying. She kept saying. So here's the question. She knew that the power of God was present to heal. And she said, I'm going to receive my healing if I touch him. And what is it? She kept saying that. She kept saying. The Weiss translation, for she kept saying, if I touch even his garments, I shall be made whole. That was her faith speaking. The power of God was present to heal, but it wasn't activated, it wasn't released until she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying and kept saying and kept saying. And kept saying. And what happened? His power was released. You can just imagine in that crowd. You know, I remember we took a guest last year, a couple of the singers from the Rhema Singers and Band. Eddie James was here. They flew in. And they wanted to, you know, afterwards, he said, can we go down to the city? And I said, sure, let's go. And so Eddie James was here, and they, you know, that was a busy week, and they wanted to go down to New York City. Boy, I didn't know what I was getting in for. Because it was nighttime, I guess everybody and their brother and sister and cousins and their cousins, it looked like New Year's Eve. I'm serious. When we went down there, this was just summertime. It was like this. You could not walk. You couldn't breathe in Times Square. There were so many people. I said, what the heck is this? What is this? I said, this is not New Year's or New Year's Eve. But there were so many people. The press of people. I mean, if you were claustrophobic, you were in trouble. I'm serious. There were so many people on the sidewalk, in the streets. It was shoulder to shoulder, this, behind you and in front of you. You could not, if you decided to go any direction but the direction the people were moving, you weren't going there. You weren't going. You were going wherever everybody else was going, right? But picture this. Jesus is pressed all around. Who touched me? What? What do you mean, who touched me? Virtue flowed out of him. She was the only one that's recorded here that we have written about that touched him in that setting that caused his power to be released. The power of God was present to heal, and it did none of them any good. None of them. Can you imagine that? That's still the same today. The power of God is present to heal and to deliver. I heard Brother Hagin share this. You know, you listen to enough tapes and things, you hear stories. When he was young, he didn't go to some anointed meeting. You heard the stories about how he was raised off of a deathbed by believing the word and saying it. But then not long after that, it said that he was somewhere and his whole face drooped on one side. Just drooped. The whole thing drooped. His mouth drooped. Everything drooped. And everybody's saying, man, what's going on? Your face is drooped. And he said, right. I'm going to go to this, wherever he was going, some Baptist preacher. It wasn't like he was some anointed, something, you know, big name. It was just a Baptist preacher. And he said, I'm going to go ask him to pray. And when he prays, I'm going to believe that I receive my healing. That's all he did. That's all he did. That's all he did. And the man prayed with him. And he said, thank you, and walked off. I got it. I got my healing. Everybody said to him, what do you mean you got your healing? Your face is still drooped. And they kept bothering him with it all day long. Nothing's changed. Your face. No, no, I got it. I got it. I got my healing. I got it. I got it. And it's working in me. When you have something, then you know it's in you, and you've got to also believe not only that you have something, but it's working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. It's recovering me. And so what happened? He said when he got up in the morning, his face was normal. Everything was back in place. Face was not drooped. Everything was normal. Because he believed he what? Received something. And that which he received, he said, was working. It was working in him. And that which he believed, he spoke. He said something. Life and death and the power of the tongue. So you've got to say something. Now I'm going to say some other things here. Let's look at some things because this is important here. Mark 4. Just back up a little bit here. Mark 4. I'm sorry, Romans. Look at Mark 4. Wrong book. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at the last verse. Romans 4:25. And then we're going to go right into Romans 5. Trying to make a point today here that which you have received, you need to know that you have received it and that it's working in you. And you have to apply. You have to work it. So let's look at this. Romans 4:25. It says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm going to read this from the Young's Literal Translation. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. When we were declared, when sin was paid for, and mankind was declared righteous, Jesus was let go. He was raised up with us. We were raised up with him. Now continue in verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, or being made righteous by faith, being made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God might be, is shed abroad, where? In our hearts, by the Holy Ghost. So you have received something. You have received something. You received the love of God. But I can't walk in love. I can't walk in love with that person. You just shut off the power of God. You just shut it off. You just turned it off. You received the power of the love of God in your spirit. You've got to know that you receive something. Sometimes you don't even know you've got it, but you've got to believe that you've received it. Why? Because the Word says you did. And now that you know that it's in you, you know the love of God. Why do we know that? Because God's in me. God is love. And He lives in me. Love lives in me. And because He lives in me and loves in me, I can walk in love. I can act in love, not based on how I see something or feel. When you receive healing, you received it. You don't say, well, I guess I didn't get anything because I didn't feel anything, so it's not working in me. Well, I guess I didn't get the love of God. I don't feel anything, so I can't walk in love. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We live by faith. Faith is not a feeling. So we can walk in love if we choose to. We can activate the power of the love of God in us. And you have to start with doing what? Saying it. I walk in love. I operate in the love of God. Now, we all haven't arrived in some ways, in some areas, because we've missed it. But when you see it and you know it, then you begin to do what? Speak it. This applies in every area, not just walking in love, not just healing. This applies in your finances. This applies everywhere. You've got to know you have something. Amen. You've got to first know that you have it. And the power of God is in the Word of God. And when God says, you've got the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, then at that point, you've got to accept that I have it. It's in me. I have the love of God in me. And now I choose to walk in love. I choose to, regardless of what people say or do, I'm going to walk in love. I choose to believe that the power of God is working in my bones, in my body, in every tissue and organ of my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body, not because of how I feel, not because of what the doctor has said or didn't say. I believe that I've received Him and His healing power in me, and it's working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. What did the scripture say? It says, let me back up and say this. Faith, I said this before. Reverend Marty shared it. Faith, in order for faith to work, it must be in two places at the same time. In order for faith to work, it's got to be in two places at the same time. It must be in your heart, and it must be in your mouth. If it's in your heart and not in your mouth, it will not work. You can have money in your pocket. If you don't spend it, it will not work. It will not benefit you. You can have faith. You can have faith-filled words on your lips, but not believe it in your heart. Or you can have words, let me say it another way. You can have words in your lips, but it's not in your heart. It will not work. You've got to know that you know, 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 that God's word is settled in heaven. And that's what it said. With the increase of your lips shall ye be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this obstacle in front of me, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart, in your heart, but shall believe in your heart. What else? Let's turn over there. So some of you need to see it again. Let's read that. Mark 11. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. I'm going to get some other translations. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So you've got to believe something in your heart, and then you've also got to believe what you say. So it's got to be in your heart, and it's got to be in your lips, and you've got to believe that. You've got to believe what's in your heart. That means you've got something. That means you received something. It's in your heart. You've got to believe that which is in your heart. And this says here, you shall have whatsoever you say. It didn't say you're going to have what the doctor said. It didn't say that you're going to go down the tubes because of your conditions. It didn't say that. It said, you shall have those things that you believe and speak. And I'm going to qualify this because we've all learned, all of us are learning. I read something recently. They said, what was the two significant hallmark things in Smith Wigglesworth's ministry? They said, his dependence on the Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, his absolute confidence in the Word of God. So we need to not just grab a scripture and begin to apply it. How many have done that? We learn. It wasn't just because in my instance, I had worked the word and got results. So I, in my thinking, I'll just apply this scripture again. We've done those things. But the Holy Spirit is here as the teacher. He's our advocate. He's our helper. And so we need to get quiet and let him direct as to how to apply and reveal the scripture. When revelation comes, it's not that you didn't know the scripture, but when he guides, he reveals. Revelation comes. Faith comes where? Here in the heart. I got something. I got it. I got the answer for this situation. And then what do? I start to speak it. I start to say it until I see the results. I kept saying till I got it. This is the Johnson translation. Truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes. That's the key. We cannot become separated from the statement we make. That means we cannot believe one thing and say something else. Some of the other translations, the Berkeley, it says, entertaining no inner doubt. When faith comes, I'm going to tell you, every time faith has come, revelation has come, in me, I'm telling about me now, There is no doubt. There is no inner doubt. Zero. Nothing. Because I am convinced that he spoke, and I'm convinced that's the answer. I got it. I have it. Now, where the doubt comes is in the mind. But when he gave me the revelation of what to do, there is no doubt. There is no hesitation. There is no inner doubt. And that ought to be something for you. When you have inner doubt, when you're not sure, faith hasn't come. Because when faith comes, you know. You know. There is no doubt. None. I can tell you unequivocally, every single time that I have received direction and revelation as to what to do, there is zero doubt. None. Not at all. Now, you know what? We can get over into and entertain something and shut the power off. We can turn it off by what we say. Here's another scripture. Let's go over here. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. I hope this is helping some. For those that you're not sure, well, get the CD and meditate upon it. 1 John 4. And let's look at starting at verse 15. It says, whosoever shall confess, see, this is hooking up with Romans 10, 9 and 10. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And look at the next verse. You could almost say, because of that. And we have what? Known. We've known. So when you believe, when you know, right? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And then, of course, it references here, and this is the commandment, have we from him? And, of course, he's referencing John 13, 34 and 35. This is the commandment that he left with us, that we do what? We love one another as I have loved you. So you also love one another. So this is I'm just pointing out. I'm going to use another scripture here. If you want to turn there, you can. This is Galatians 3:13. These are familiar scriptures, but I'm making a point here that we already have something. We have it. We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have been made righteous. We have it. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us. You are redeemed. From what? The curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that what? The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You are healed. You are. You have it. You have to believe and receive it. You have been made righteous. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You have been healed. The power of God is released in the preaching of the Word of God. One way, not the only way. We can receive it by the laying on of hands. We can receive it by cloths being laid on us. But it can be spoken, and the power of God is confirmed with signs following. But you receive the Word of God. It says, ye were healed. Ye were healed. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. I receive what you've already done. God lives in me. Love lives in me. The healer lives in me. So I have healing in me, and the healer is at work in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he that dwelleth in me quickeneth my mortal body. He's at work in me. Healing's at work in me. Blessing is at work in my life. Prosperity is at work in my life, not because of what I can see, but because of what I've accepted and received in my heart. I believe it, and I release that with my words. I'm releasing the power of God to work in my life by speaking it. Amen. The power of your tongue. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a couple of other scriptures here. We've got just a few more minutes. Romans chapter 4. We know this story. This is starting in verse 9 through 17, 18, 19, 20. We're talking about Abraham. But we're talking about, in Galatians, when it talks about the blessings of Abraham cometh upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9 here, and coming down, it says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, look, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. We have the blessings of Abraham. We have it. We have it. We have it. We have it. And it's not enough to just believe it. It's not enough. The power of God was present to heal. It's not enough. You've got to believe it and say it. You've got to decree it. Let's look at one last scripture, Matthew 6. Very familiar. Matthew 6. Starting in verse 30. It says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take what? No thought doing what? Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Does that sound like today?
Yes.
So some things haven't changed, have they?
No.
So what does it say? What does it say? Verse 32. "For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have what? Need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be healed, shall be whole." What did the woman say? "If I but touch his garment, I shall be made whole." When the 10 lepers came, when the blind man cried unto Jesus, "Your faith hath made you whole." All these things do the Gentiles seek, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not enough to know it. You've got to receive it and believe the truth that God loves me, he cares for me, and I'm seeking him first, and all the things I want, all the things I desire shall be added unto me. And when I decree that, I give him the right and the power of God to do what? Move in my behalf and supply all my need. Bring all the things I desire, all the things I need. I don't have to spend my time trying to figure out how to get it. My thoughts, my activity are on what? Him. Well, how does that apply to me? If you're a dad, you're here today, you're the shepherd, you're the priest of the home, you've got to look out and think about how you're going to supply the needs of your family. This applies right here. If you will just seek him first, he will guide you and lead you and show you how to fulfill that. See, we spend a lot of time trying to make stuff work and happen. And if we would just do this, believe it and do what? Speak. Take no thought, saying, "What shall we eat? Wherewithal shall we be clothed?" I don't know what else to say. It's revelation to me. I'm speaking it, as I say, the best I can get it out of my heart. I'm trying not to speak in tongues, but I'm just getting this out. This. Light, this revelation, if we just get a hold of this, if we just take one area that's not working, that looks like it'll never work, you just say, "You know what? I believe God, it shall come to pass. It shall work. My body will function right. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like." We trying to figure out how to make something work in our life. You begin to decree, my body's strong, my body's whole, my body's healed. And God will begin to show you what you need to do, because he's going to bring to pass the words that you speak. He's going to guide you and direct you to do what? Fulfill those words. You've heard me share this. I'm telling you, I'm seeing some things that I did and didn't do right. But I was not, I'm going to close with this comment. You've heard me share this story, but I believe it applies here. I was not seeing the results of tithing. I believed it, but I was not saying it. I would put my offering in dutifully, but I did not say with my mouth. I believe that I sowed my seed today. I believe that the word of God is true. I believe that the windows of heaven are open unto me. I believe that the blessings of Abraham are mine. I'm seeking him first, and all the things I need are being added unto me. I did not decree and say what I believed. And some of us are in those situations. We put our money in, we sow, but we don't say. And in a time of worship when I was home, you've heard me share this, I got over into laughter one day. I just decided to laugh. I had some symptoms in my body. I wasn't thinking about money. I was thinking about these symptoms. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to laugh today. I'm going to laugh at them. I was laying in bed. I'm laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. That's about where I started. Pretty sad. And I did that for about 15, 20 minutes, and it began to stir here. And it stirred and stirred and stirred to the place that I got into Holy Ghost laughter and got into just so much, so strong, until it lifted. And the power of God was all over me. I mean strong. And then when it began to wane, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, he didn't talk about healing. He talked about money. And he said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That was revelation to me. And so what happened was I began to do that. And he spoke to me in a way that he knew me, because I was working the word in the area of healing, and he said, like you're working the word in the area of healing. So he knew I was working it, believing it, saying it, believing it, saying it, believing it, saying it. And my body responded. But I was not believing it and saying it in the area of finances. He said, if you'll do the same thing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And so what happened is I began to do that. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I didn't have a savings account. I'm working in the ministry here. And I began to say it and say it and say it and say it and put my tithe in and say it 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 and say it. And I'm home one day, and I heard this in my heart. It just come up in my thinking. Buy Apple stock. Buy Apple stock. I never worked the stock market. I never got the Wall Street Journal. I never studied stock. But I must admit, I know his voice. And I had some money set aside, and I didn't do it. The stock at that point was $40 a share, and it went up to $700. And I sat there and watched it 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 and didn't obey. So the power of God didn't benefit me because I did not act upon it. He was trying to get money to me in an unfamiliar way, in a not familiar way. I had to learn a lesson, a hard lesson, because it came in a way that I was not familiar with. I didn't work the stock market, so it was not familiar to me. But we've got to learn, number one, did he speak to me? If he did, follow it. Just do it. Do it. Just do it. If you know it was him, do it. And so I learned a tough lesson. I did. And I said, Lord, I'll not do that again. But I learned that the principle of believing that he spoke to me and told me what to do, and I began to speak it, and it tried to fulfill. See? And this will work whether it's your body. We've heard so many stories. I'm thinking about Jessica Warwick, the Warwick family that was here, and others, but she stayed in healing school for 2 years. Every day she was going to Rhema Bible School, and every day, she wore an insulin pump on her body. And we were out a couple of years ago, winter Bible seminar. She's just full, little short little girl, young woman, full of life. Full of life. And her dad said, after 2 years, said, her pancreas just started to work. Just started to work. Because she kept believing until it came to pass. And her bodily organs began to just work. Wasn't supposed to, as far as medical science. She should have been on that insulin pump, but she wasn't on it anymore. And I don't care what it is. I don't care how you've been harmed or violated in life. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And if we just continue to say it, we will walk in love with the unlovely world. And the same thing. We have been blessed. We are blessed and prosperous. Doesn't matter what you have in your bank account, but you begin to decree and begin to say and begin to decree and say. That's what I did. My bank accounts are full. They're overflowing with money. I don't have room enough to contain it all. I need more accounts. I began to say it and say it. And when thoughts would come, that's ridiculous. I'd say, no, it's not. I said, I believe it, and I'm saying it. Whether you're a business owner, don't say negative things. I'm telling you, this is what's going to propel. This is what propelled this ministry foundationally. And what the Lord spoke, he said the same thing. He said, you've just finished the base and the foundation. That was back in 03. He said, I'm now beginning to build the ministry house. This is what's going to cause these things to build and build and bring us to the place that God has designed for this ministry. It's going to be believing his direction and saying it regardless of what you see, regardless of the circumstances. You've got to decree that God established this ministry and he's going to fulfill it, and the things that he's revealed, I'm telling you, are going to come to pass. They're going to come to pass just as I'm standing here. If you don't believe it, it doesn't matter. I believe it, and I'm going to decree it, and I'm going to see it come to pass. I just hope you all come along. The things that God has spoken are going to come to pass. They're going to come. And you've got to believe it and say it. It's not enough for us to just believe. We've got to speak it and say it. You know, the words spoken, I know I'm going a little longer here, but words prophesied to this ministry are not just to make us feel good. Brother Copeland spoke, and he said, I believe it was 85 or 87, he said, you all think that church in Seoul, Korea is so large. I'll do that here if you'll let me. He said, don't try to be the biggest church. Just seek me. Just seek him. And then Brother Price, Dr. Price, when he was here, now Apostle Price, he came and he started talking about the ministry and so forth and so on. And he said, I know you love this place and it looks wonderful. He said, but I have news for you. You're not going to stay here. This was in 1990. He said, you're not going to stay in this place. He said, this place, you're going to have to pack up and go. That didn't make a lot of sense if you just moved into this facility. And after being been here 5 years, you hear that. You go, what? That doesn't make any sense. But then you go forward. See, this is one thing that Brother Hagin shared. His dad shared this last year. I wasn't at Winter Bible Seminar, but I heard him say this streaming, watching the stream. He said, if you'll notice my dad, he said he never put prophecies in the word of faith. Words spoken by him, he never put them in the word of faith because he said prophecy, for the most part, is not for now. It's for future. And he said a lot of times people got tripped up reading things, and he said it wasn't applicable. And he would say to them, no, it's not for now. That's a word for, it's not for now. And that's the way this prophecy was that was given in 1990. It wasn't for then. It's for now. It's for now. 27 years later, it's for now. It's for now. And God began to speak to me recently and said, the Sears building is going to be the first building you're taking. So God is starting to give direction. We're now, I'm not at liberty to get into the details, but I decree, so does Pastor Greg, we say it. We don't just believe it, we say it. This building is sold, and we believe the best buyer, the buyer that's willing to give, and we've put a price, we named it X amount, not poquito, lot of money. Lots of money. And we're saying, that person is willing to pay it. Bring the right person. Well, isn't it interesting? We're getting some things in the mail. We'd like your property. We want to buy it, blah, 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 blah. And I said, yeah, okay. Got the right price. It's going to come to pass. But you've got to decree the things that God has ordained and commanded, and they will come to pass. Not put your spin on it. Wait on him. Let him show you what his will is. His will has been stamped on this ministry. And the utter box, we're willing to flow with that and yield. See, you heard Pastor, she's here. She said they weren't his first choice. That means there were a whole lot of other folks that could have, but didn't yield, didn't yield, didn't yield, didn't yield. And that goes with all of us. We could know the will of God, we could shout, but if we don't yield, it don't benefit us. And the same thing, it will never benefit this ministry if we don't know what his will is and hear him and then do what? Decree it. Amen. We've got to say it. We've got to believe it and say it. That's what we call keeping the switch of faith turned on. You've got to believe it, believe his will, believe that's for us, and then do what? Say it. Decree it. Keep saying. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I've gone enough. Praise God. Receive it in your heart. Receive it. If there's some things that aren't clear, get the tape or get it online. Listen to it. Listen to it. Listen to it some more. But faith, in order for it to work, has got to be in your heart and on your lips. Yes. It's got to be. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that the word of God, the power of God, has been spoken and released. And we thank you, Father, for the hearts that have received it. I believe that every person under the sound of my voice, those listening online, those listening on CD, will receive the seed of the word and will see it and apply it in their life. And I decree that those listening will come up higher, will walk out of the bondages and the restrictions in this life, and will be blessed and will be healed and will be prosperous in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We've been delivered. I am delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God.